My Morning Jacket on KUTX. They're amazed. 5 minutes after five, a nice golden wintry Monday afternoon in Austin, Texas. I'm Jody Denberg, and like many of you, I was awakened today by the news that David Bowie had passed away. And there will be reams and reams of lines written about Mr. Bowie and how he affected our world with his music and in so many other ways. But the beautiful thing about being on the radio is we can play the music. We can just play you what David did. And so that's the plan for the next hour plus. And my friend Charlie Sexton is going to be joining me in a few moments. And he's played with David Bowie and has insight into his music. And plus, we're just going to have a good time playing David Bowie music for you. So give me a few seconds and we'll come back. I dug out an interview I did with David Bowie in 1997. And we have a couple of segments of that. I'll play you 3 minutes of that in just a few seconds. And then we'll start playing some David Bowie music and we'll talk to Charlie. And we're going to have a good time as we celebrate the life and music of David Bowie this evening on KUTX.
Support comes from Sass Natural Dressings and Sauces. Bold flavors with no gluten, corn syrup, or unpronounceable ingredients. Available in the produce department at most grocery stores. Sass Dressings and Sauces. Made in Texas, naturally.
Support comes from UT's Center for Professional Ed, offering a certificate program in HR management for those looking to boost their careers in 2016. Information session Wednesday, January 20th. Details at professionaled.utexas.edu.
Support comes from Thesaurus Trading Company, international folk art, jewelry, and textiles to explore, discover, share. Handmade treasures from around the world. Open daily at 1500 South Congress and thesoros.com.
As promised, we are going to celebrate the life and music of David Bowie on KUTX for the next hour plus, as long as we feel it. And in 1997, I had a chance to talk with David Bowie. It sounds like on this interview that we're in the same room, but he was actually doing what they call a satellite tour, where he would give each radio station 5 or 10 minutes, and he would be on the satellite, so it didn't have that sound of a phone interview. And David was promoting a record called Earthling, but of course we wound up talking about Austin, Texas right out of the box. So although you'll hear me do a time check and whatever, rest assured it is Monday, it is 8 minutes after five, and here's a conversation with David Bowie from 1997. This is Jody, 5 minutes before 4 o'clock in Austin, Texas, and live via satellite, David Bowie. Good afternoon, David.
Hi, Jody. How are you?
I'm doing great. Where are we?
Austin, Texas.
You've got some
friends. How's my friend Hunt Sales? Is he still there?
I don't know if Hunt is here, but Charlie Sexton is still here.
Yeah, you know, I saw Charlie the other week in New York. It was lovely to see him. I haven't seen him for a couple of years, and he turned up at my birthday bash. It was so nice to see him. He's a good kid, huh?
Oh, he's great, and he's making some great new music as well.
Yes, I know he is, and he's going to get his due soon.
Are you in New York City right now?
I'm in Hollywood at the moment.
I'm trying to picture your situation this afternoon. You're talking to people all over the country. Are you in a radio studio yourself?
I am indeed in front of a particularly smart desk.
Uh-huh.
With a sign above the window which says Neurotic Outsiders. in quite splendid colors. Neurotic Outsiders on Air is exactly what it says.
So you're at the Virgin Home Offices, I'd imagine. Or maybe Westwood One.
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
I'm just calling in from an unknown destination.
Maybe outer space.
Possibly. We are in Hollywood.
Now that's the thing, David. For so many years we associated you with songs like Space Oddity and associated you with the Spiders from Mars, and now the new album's called Earthling.
I think I'm making quite a graphic point there, don't you? It's certainly not light. I've always used the hardware of science fiction to some extent. Usually in a sort of an allegorical way. It's a means of telling a story which probably had more of a spiritual subtext to it. But I use the idea of the alien and the hardware and the rocket ships and the distance from Earth as being sort of metaphors for searching through one's own life, looking for sort of anchors, you know.
Well, do you feel more...
And I guess Earthling comes out of my own feelings of having found some kind of balance in life, you know?
Would that have to do with having a good domestic situation and...
I think that's part and parcel of it. A lot of it is kind of finding the ability a number of years ago to really make a strong attempt at sorting myself out, my own head and, you know, my own circumstances. And also, I guess one thing, it almost is a domino effect, you know, once one aspect of your fundamental psychological being starts coming together, everything else starts to fall into place, and they help keep this kind of buoyancy going. It's a good thing, and it's just kind of lovely to arrive at 50 feeling like that, you know, after maybe quite a few years of being discontent or, you know, some areas of dark negativity, and suddenly to fall into a nice blaze of light is a pretty nice thing to do.
Now you're
I can't wait for 70. It should be a gas. especially with this hair color.
Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come, little baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.
Come, little baby.
There's my fever lost, that's all. Opening doors and pulling some strings.
Angel,
come up the bed. In walk luck and you looked in time. Never look back, walk tall, act fine. Wish upon day upon day, I believe, oh Lord, I believe all the way.
Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
There's my baby lost, that's all. Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come, little baby. Run for the shadows. Run for the shadows. Run for the shadows in these golden years.
I'll stick with you, baby, for a thousand years. Nothing's gonna touch you in these golden years. Go.
Golden years. Yes.
Go.
KUTX 98.9, we are celebrating David Bowie this afternoon, this evening. We began with 3 minutes of Mr. Bowie in conversation in 1997, followed by, well, he ended that little interview clip by talking about how he would feel when he turned 70. David Bowie passed away yesterday at the age of 69, so my friend Charlie Sexton chose Golden Years out of that little conversation, and then we heard Blackout featuring Brian Eno and Robert Fripp from the album Heroes. Again, this is Jody, and my guest is musician, songwriter, producer, and rock and roll fan Charlie Sexton. And we've got dozens of David.
Yeah, the reason Golden Years happened, which is pretty obvious given what he said, was because we're surrounded by stacks and stacks of Bowie records, which is a wonderful place to be.
And the interview with David Bowie started with he and I talking about you for a moment.
Of you baiting him about me.
Well, I didn't.
He was talking about Hunt.
I didn't know Hunt Sales.
So well, I know Hunt. I love Hunt.
I was like, well, no, I don't know that person from Austin, but I know this person from Austin. And he reacted really warmly. Okay, let's backtrack. When we first heard you playing music, you were playing roots music, rockabilly music, and then you went away to make your first record for MCA, and it sounded more like David Bowie than roots music. And then we all knew, wow, Charlie is really a big David Bowie fan. Was he one of your formative guys when you were getting into music?
He really was. I mean, I had this duplicity thing, or even more so than that, which growing up here and being able to play with the people, learn from the people that I did. It was in the beginning of like videos and things like this, and the music became quite more accessible in a lot of ways. So he was fetching to me from the very beginning. I remember being about 4 years old and he came on a television show, in a jumpsuit doing Space Oddity. And then someone, by the time the chorus came around, they were like, we gotta get that guy off the, you know, they changed the channel because it, you know, was more, not exactly, Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, you know? So it kind of began early on, really. And then it just, the more and more I started, I'm like, wow, he's truly interesting where he goes. And it just kept going.
Today, when I had talked to you about coming on to spin some records, so I was looking
and
for...
And thank you, Jody, because I really appreciate you calling.
And I appreciate you being here. So I thought, well, I wonder if there's a good picture of David Bowie and Charlie Sexton together. So I Googled your name with images, and what I got was a screenshot of you performing with him, White Light, White Heat, I guess during the Glass Spider tour. But when did you actually first meet David Bowie?
I first met David, there was a very, very dear friend of mine who's a photographer in Los Angeles when I went out there to make a record. And that's kind of, I went up there to make a record, just kind of stayed for 5 years, no pun intended. And somehow he just one day I met David, and then we just like immediately became friends. And he was actually living in LA at the time. We spent a lot of time together and tried to write some songs and you know, go eat food and listen to music and talk about music. And
we're talking mid-80s.
It would have been 80s? Yeah, it would have been like about 87, 88, something like that. 88 probably.
And you talk about you said it almost casually. Yeah, we tried to write a few songs. I mean, sitting down with David Bowie to write a song, that seems like a daunting thing to me. Well, you bellied up to the bar, huh?
It's funny, just because I've always been, even at a very, very young age, I was so serious about music. So most of those things of who they were, who the people were, those kind of vanished. And I looked at people just on a human level, you know? And he was in town, and he was kind of like, hey, you gonna come around tonight? Maybe we work on a song or something. And I actually have two duffel bags of cassettes, of records, and some of them are these old weird four-track demos. And within there somewhere is the recording of us not writing a song for about an hour. But the sweet thing about it was that was the lure to get me to come back to Texas when he came through on the Glass Spider tour, which led to the filming or what have you. He goes, he would call me randomly from Switzerland sometimes late at night. Hello, Charlie, it's David. What are you doing? I'm gonna be in your parts, and perhaps you could come down and we could finish that song down there in Texas in your home state. You know. Anyway, enough about me. More about David.
All right, more about David. Also about you. When do you remember the last time that you talked to David Bowie?
You know, I'm trying to recollect that because we traded messages in one way or another. He refers to the birthday party, which I was really kind of shocked. I got a call one day and said, hey, we're having a party for David. It's his 50th. And I hadn't seen him in a while at that point. But then I saw him when he was here, when he came through with Nine Inch Nails, because Reeve Gabrels, he and I, we met in Australia, who played with David for years, and also in Tim Machine, was a co-founder of Tim Machine, along with Hunt and Tony Sells. And I really can't even remember.
Yeah. Well, gosh, so many memories just got sparked there. That show with Nine Inch Nails, I think that was out either at South Park or the backyard, I forget.
South Park Meadows,
Park Meadows. Yeah. And then I saw David play last here in Austin at the backyard, an incredible show on the reality tour. So David Bowie turned 50 in 1997. That was when the conversation was, we were just talking. And then 3 years ago on his birthday, from out of nowhere, we all are awakened to the fact that David Bowie has a new record, his first in ages, called The Next Day.
And which is hilarious. I was actually in East Texas at my grandmother's house. And it was the day, it was a Tuesday, the record was released that day. And I'm trying to buy it while I'm there. I'm like, oh, it's out today. You know, because I mean, he meant that much to me, his work, that I would always like, got to get it. I'm old school kind of music lover. Well, I couldn't get it because there was no connection up there. So I literally drove from East Texas at least 5 hours as fast as I can to get to Waterloo in time to go in and buy it, which is the way I prefer to buy music as well, which is Waterloo Records.
And that was 3 years ago this week, because David Bowie released The Next Day on his 66th birthday. He released his new album, Black Star, on his 69th birthday, which was just Friday, and then passed away on Sunday. The first song we got from The Next Day was called Where Are We Now? And it wasn't really emblematic of the rest of the record. It was a ballad, but it was so beautiful. And now, with his passing, all these things take on eerie resonances to me. So I thought we would listen to that song, Where Are We Now?
And none of this is by accident. I mean, he always put it all together.
And we'll talk some more about that with Charlie Sexton as we celebrate David Bowie today on KUTX.
Had to get the train from Potsdamer Platz. You never knew that I could do that. Just walking the day, man lost in time near Cardiff. Just walking the dead. Thousand people, crossbars are broken. Fingers are crossed, just in case. Walking dead.
As long as
KUTX 98.9, we are celebrating David Bowie's music from now until whenever, have been most of our lives.
Exactly.
I'm here with Charlie Sexton, and I called for the song Where Are We Now from The Next Day, which was David's next to last record. It came out on his birthday 3 years ago. And Charlie, I was saying how that song seems to have a different resonance now. He has that refrain there, just walking the dead. And I mean, I don't think David Bowie knew 3 years ago that he was sick, but he's probably a pretty intuitive person, and it came through in his music. We're going to hear different resonances in all of this music now from here forward, I think.
When we spoke about it for a second, I mean, I kind of had, this is the second time I've had to go through this because of some friends. Mutual friends of David and I told me what no one was supposed to know over a year ago, that there was a problem, you know, Major Tom, we have a problem, so to speak. And I think things got a little bit better. And that was, as I mentioned to you earlier, that enabled him to write the third act and go out with the grace that he always carried, regardless of what circumstance he was ever in, it seemed.
You've said that to me now several times today, just since we've been together, that word grace. As someone that knew David Bowie, he just operated with a gentleness, a grace, an intuition, just all the things that grace entails.
He was, I mean, the thing about him, is, I mean, and it's obvious when you see him, but when you seeing someone, I mean, I have mixed feelings about having any personal experience because it makes it harder. And, you know, I'm fortunate. I'm by no means his closest friend ever. There's like a gazillion people in front of me. I had a very short, sort of a dealing. But he was a charming, brilliant person. But there was a humanity about it, too. And that was really important. That's why the grace keeps coming on. And that's something that you don't run across a lot.
It's kind of funny. We talk about a humanity for David Bowie that he encompassed, yet he was the man who fell to earth. He was the alien. He is this guy from who knows where, but yet he encompassed a real down-to-earth humanity in your personal dealings with him.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing that I always respond to the most, and I was really fortunate to see that in him and a few other dear friends, you know?
And we also heard TVC.
And he was hilarious. I mean, he was so, so funny.
Like, he would just cut up and...
He just was funny. He just... You know, he was just really charming and funny. And even I told you that quick story, which I can't tell on the air. It was a very unfortunate evening we had. And he just charmed and made it really hilarious, you know.
Well, we also heard TVC15, which is from Station to Station. Now, the cover of that record, I think, is taken from The Man Who Fell to Earth. Photo sessions? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that is that. It's like that weird Sonics. Looks like he's in some, you know, soundproof room of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. With by the way, very much a good Elvis shot with him, you know.
Kind of interesting that he had the same birthday as Elvis, too.
Well, it's pretty funny, too, because that's what changed my life. A few things changed my life musically, and Elvis was one of them the first time I got Sun Sessions. When I truly became a DJ at home in my room at age 11.
Station to Station, speaking of DJs, and we heard TVC15. I'm not sure what that means, TVC15.
Oh, actually, I think that I just read something recently. It had to do something with is an Iggy thing or something. I don't know.
Well, I love that record, and listening
it to... It meant everything, Jody.
listen to the band on that record. I mean, I think it's Roy Bittan doing the piano, and the great Earl Slick, who then went on to be on John Lennon's Double Fantasy, but Earl Slick was a recurring player
exactly.
In his stable. He put together great bands.
Oh, he, I mean, and really one of the, there's a couple people that were with him for so long that were really, really important. One of them being Mike Garrison, who was a wonderful piano player. He was on all the other stuff, like he plays the bits on Time and what have you. And another one was Carlos Alomar, who was just sweetest guy in the world. And so, I mean, way cool. I mean, really sweet guy and fabulous. I mean, amazing player.
We're celebrating David Bowie, and we'll continue to do that in less than a minute on KUTX.
Support comes from FiberCove. Co-working on South Lamar focused on productivity and connectivity with 10 meeting rooms, accessible parking, and a full-service kitchen. A limited number of memberships now available. FiberCove.com. Get working.
Support comes from CASA of Travis County, inviting the community to become CASA volunteers, helping children who've been abused or neglected by serving as their advocate in court, in school, and in the community. More at CASATravis.org.
Support comes from Austin Laser Dentist Helen Ragsdale, DDS, a general dentist, comfort-focused, laser-assisted cosmetic and restorative dental care, veneers, periodontal treatments, dental implants, and more. AustinLaserDentist.com.
KUTX 98.9, remembering David Bowie, who passed away yesterday at the age of 69. A big surprise to most of us, although as Charlie Sexton, my guest, mentioned, you got wind of the fact that David was ill probably about a year ago, and then he rebounded a bit, enough to make a new record, Black Star. What a gift to leave behind to all of us, that record. And
he didn't even have to do that. All the gifts were under the tree already, you know. But I mean, I probably shouldn't even say that, what I said about knowing about it, but I really think, when I think about that, as I said, him being able to write his third act and put the time in with his family, his child, and his wife and friends.
There was a gentleman that was with David for a lot of his career, and his name is Tony Visconti.
Yes.
And he also happened to produce our friend Alejandro Escovedo's last three records.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony was just so integral to all of these records. I'm pretty sure he did Scary Monsters and Super Creeps, which is what we're going to pluck a song off of now. Boy, this record, this comes after the Berlin Trilogy. It's sort of a comeback, and he has the big hit with Ashes to Ashes, but it rocked like crazy, again with Robert Fripp's help and other people's help. Scary Monsters, is that a song that stands out for you?
Well, I remember being a kid and listening to FM radio and hearing the commercial for him, his record or tour or what have you, playing that song, Scary Monsters, David Bowie, you know, and it was the most amazing thing on the air. I was like, wow, what is that?
Keep me running. Sorrow.
David Bowie on KUTX. We heard several things there, chosen by myself and my guest Charlie Sexton, a friend of David's and a fan, a music fan. We did Scary Monsters first, that second crazy Robert Fripp solo we've had today, Charlie, after Blackout.
And there will never be enough.
No.
Crazy, actually, Fripp or Ballou for that matter.
And then from Pinups. Now, it's pretty much standard operating procedure these days for artists to do records of the songs that influenced them. And then, you know, John Lennon did Rock and Roll, but Bowie doing Pinups was really the first of a, not someone going back to the formative days of rock and roll, but going back to the music that was just right before they started. And the song Sorrow, I think, what was it? The Mersey's? Yeah.
The McCoys, is what you said.
The McCoys in 1965, and then the Mersey's did it. And George Harrison quotes from that song, and it's all too much, with your long blonde hair and your eyes are blue. We got a request for a Bowie cover of George Harrison that we might be able to fill.
Because, you know, Jody, all this stuff, music business of making music, it's just like a buffet that a car runs into and spills all over the place, and then we all pick up what we can.
And David Bowie is the prime example of that. You can't read anything that's been written in the last day, or even beforehand, the word chameleon comes up all the time.
Yeah.
About how changeable he was. And in fact, to bring it back home, well, let me finish backselling the set. Neighborhood Threat, you chose from Bowie's album Tonight. Now, Tonight, that was the one right after the really big...
It was the one immediately after Let's Dance. And the reason I suggested that one, just because we wanted something good and upbeat, and also that's leads us to Iggy. One of the most beautiful friendships and partnerships in, you know, strange rock and roll history.
And they did those two records together, Lust for Life being one of them, and I think the other one might have been The Idiot, I'm not sure.
Exactly.
And
also in Berlin. So.
Yeah, we haven't really zeroed in on the Berlin trilogy yet, but that was Low and Heroes, and was Lodger, I guess, the third of those records that was made in Berlin, or considered part of the Berlin trilogy, which was so core to what David Bowie did, these records in the mid-70s. You compared them, in essence, to Elvis Presley's Sun records.
Yeah, and you kind of lit up when I said that, because I mean, Sun Studios, it kind of changed the whole game in a way, what Sam Phillips did in that studio. And in a lot of ways, kind of more stealthily, I think he and Visconti and all them did the same thing when they were in Berlin.
Yeah, it was.
No one was going to make a record in Berlin, I can tell you that for sure.
David Bowie, Brian Eno, Tony Visconti, with help from Robert Fripp. Perhaps they needed to get sober in some ways and get away from some temptations, so they went to Berlin, made some records that many of us consider the core of David Bowie's catalog, and we're going to dip into those in a minute. But Charlie chose Neighborhood Threat, which is a Bowie, Iggy, Ricky Gardner co-write. So you had Scary Monsters, Sorrow, and Neighborhood Threat in that set. Since we are in Austin, Texas, I might tell you that the Alamo Draft House has put together many of David Bowie's music videos, and they're having special sing-along screenings tonight at three of their locations. The bad news is I think they're all sold out. But people are gathering here in Austin. They're gathering all over the world to remember David Bowie and to celebrate David Bowie, and that's what Charlie and I are doing. And you, obviously, you played on stage with David. You were friends with him. You sat down to write songs. I spoke with him on the phone one time, and we got to talking about the fact that he had just played Unplugged at Neil Young's Bridge School. Mm-hmm. And then he name checks Bob Dylan, who you've been playing with on and off for years and years and years. I wondered if like someone like Bob Dylan had heard this David Bowie song written to him.
I've never asked him about it, actually. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, he must have heard something about it.
What's the name of the song that Bowie does for Dylan? I forget.
Yeah, I think it's actually song for Dylan, but I think he refers to him as Zimmerman in it.
Let's listen to that. But first, let's listen to a little bit more of this conversation with David Bowie recorded in 1997.
We're speaking with David Bowie, who is live via satellite from Hollywood. The new album is called Earthling. Now, David, a few years ago when the catalog was reissued on Ryko Disc, you said that you wouldn't play a lot of those songs again. And I understand you had a big birthday bash a few weeks ago at Madison Square Garden, and And you did wind up playing some of your old songs again. How did that feel, and would you rule out playing them on your next tour?
As I say, I am totally irrational, and it's very likely that I'll probably go back on my word about most of the things that I've ever said. And do you know something? I don't care.
Very nicely put. How did it go playing? I understood you did some solo acoustic stuff at Neil Young's Bridge concert. We also carried a radio broadcast last week that found you doing some stuff acoustic. Is this the first time you've tried to do that in many years?
I was terrified when Neil asked me to come over and do that show, I must admit. I hadn't done a full acoustic set since maybe the late 60s, you know. It was just not something really that had kind of come into my life at all. And I guess I just liked the idea of the challenge, you know. And I got together with my bass player, Gaylan Dorsey, and Reeves Cabral's my guitar player. And we just went out and did it, you know. We just picked out a whole heap of stuff that would be real kind of good, strange, and stupid to do. I mean, for instance, we did Let's Dance as a blues with bottle caps on the bottom of my boots, and it was like, it ended up like a Muddy Waters song. I mean, it was just a real treat to work like that. I got so carried away with it that once we got out of there, I couldn't stop doing. Anybody who asked me to do a show, I said, "Do you want an acoustic set?" And it just became, for a couple of weeks there, I thought I was going to turn into Bob Dylan.
The truthful vengeance that could fill us to the floor. Brought a few more people on and put the fear in a whole lot more. Ah, here she comes, here she comes, here she comes again. She comes again. The same old painted lady.
This is 98.9 KUTX Leander, KUTHD 2 90.5 Austin, and KUTX.org. Community-supported public radio from UT Austin.